You can't speak about the way I do unless you process it. You go back a million times. You battle it. You overcome it. Even though it's gone, you got to go back in your mind and face it and overcome it. With my father, when I was 22, I believe I was, 22, 23, I had to go back and face him. Actually face him one-on-one. And that's really when I realized I had to go back to the, you know, like if your knee hurts. A lot of people focus on your knee. It may be your fucking, if it's your left knee, it might be your right hip. We never focus on the hip, focus on the knee. So for me, I was focusing on all this surface shit. So when I went to the Air Force, I quit in training because I learned how to read, I learned how to write, I learned how to swim. But the second something hard came up, I went right back to where I always go. I'm like, God, man, I thought I fixed all this shit. No, my left knee was hurting. And I worked on my left knee. It stopped hurting. But my fucking right hip was the fucking problem. So my right hip was my dad. The crux of my problems wasn't anything to do with everything in life. It was to do with my father. Because that's where it started. It started there. The origin of the story, it started there. So I went back to the start point and had to face where all this happened, where the mindset started. The mindset of, you know, all this being beat for no reason and feeling like you're nothing and feeling like you got to lie to gain friends. And, you know, my mind was developed, but it wasn't developing properly in that hell. You can't develop a mind in the hell I lived in. So what happened was, people blame me back in the day. My God, you lied about this and you did that. Let me put your fucking ass in that shit. Go. Be born in that shit, man. Let me see how you come out. Let me see how secure in your foundation you are when you get beat for just fucking doing nothing because he's drunk and he's mad at you. So you learn to survive, but surviving doesn't make you win. Surviving makes you a fucking cockroach. It makes you just do that, survive. It makes you lie. How can I get through this? How can I get around this? Versus being a man and standing up for what you believe in. You're a coward. So you lie and you manipulate. But that's what those foundations, a lot of people are beat mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. So it makes you a coward. But then people blame you for how you act when you're 30 fucking years old. They don't know where you come from. They don't know the hell you had to endure while your mind is the way it is now. So you have to go back and fix that shit. You got to go back to where this shit came from. Not gonna fix it now. You got to go back and fix it. So when I went back there, I realized this fucking guy, I had to look at my dad and forgive him without saying sorry. No one said sorry. I had to go back and say, why were you so fucking nuts? And realize, oh, you never went back. You never fucking went back. And whatever fucked you up while you beat the shit out of my mom, me, and my brother, you never went back. So you took all that shit out on us. And therefore, that's how the generational shit goes on. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad was a druggie. I'm a druggie. That's how that shit goes on. No one stops it. I stopped it. So that's what that caused me to do.
You forgave him in your own mind.
In my own mind. He died a few years back. I didn't go to the funeral, but I don't hate him. I had to let it go. It was over. That part of my life is over. I don't hate you. You're my father. I respect you for that. But I also know why you were the way you were. You have to understand the demon before you can fix it, man.
Of all the things Mr. Shove taught me, the biggest challenge for me was personal development. It was hard to give up my old blame list. I was so comfortable blaming my shortcomings on the government, my negative relatives, the company, unions, the economy, interest rates, prices, and every other imaginable circumstance. It was quite a transition for me to change from blaming everyone and everything else to taking responsibility for my life. But Mr. Shoaff made me realize the importance of making that transition with a simple statement. He said, "It's not what happens in the world that determines the major part of your future. What happens, happens to us all. The key is what you do about it." He encouraged me to start the process of change, to do something different in the following 90 days than I had done in the previous 90 days. And I'm asking you to do the same. Whether it's picking up a book, starting a new health discipline, improving your relationship with your family. Whatever it is, however small the action, you need to start the process. Mr. Schoaf then gave me another secret to success when he said, "All that you have at the moment, Mr. Roan, you've attracted by the person you are." Once I began to understand this principle, it explained so much. Mr. Schoaf continued, "Mr. Roan, you've only got pennies in your pocket. You've got nothing in the bank. The creditors are calling, and you're behind on your promises. Here's how that occurred. Misfortune has taken place because of the kind of person you are." I said, "Well, how can I change all that?" He answered, "If you will change yourself, everything else will change for you. You don't have to change what's outside. All you've got to change is what's inside. To have more, you simply have to become more." And then he said, "Don't wish it were easier. Wish that you were better. Don't wish for fewer problems. Wish for more skills. Start making these personal changes, and it will all change for you." He was absolutely right. Picture for a moment a little wildebeest in Africa. Do you know how much time it has after birth to learn how to run with the pack so it's not eaten by the lions? A few minutes. As soon as the little wildebeest is born, it tries to stand up. When it falls down, its mother nudges it and gets it to stand back up. Then it falls back down. Finally, on little shaky legs, it tries to nurse. The mother pushes it away. She moves so it can't nurse. Why? She's sending a message. You can't nurse now. You've got to develop some strength or the lions will get you. You've got to get these legs strong. We don't have much time. How long does this process take for a human baby? As a parent of grown children, I'm still not sure. It's unbelievable the amount of time it takes for personal development, for spiritual development, for physical development. But there's something else that takes time, and that's your mental development. Feeding the mind. Some people read so infrequently that they've got rickets of the mind. They couldn't give you a good, strong argument as to their own personal beliefs. Here's one of the challenges we have to face as parents. Getting our kids ready to debate today's major life issues. They've got to develop their own well-informed opinions. You can help them do just that, but only if you first commit to doing it yourself. And here's the next challenge. You've got to be able to defend your opinions. If you can't defend your virtues and if you can't defend your values, you'll fall prey to philosophies that are not in your best interest. We've got to help our kids. They need to be well informed about the major life issues, the political issues, the social issues, the religious issues, the spiritual issues, and the economic issues. You've got to get yourself and your kids ready for the great challenge of today, to develop your philosophy and defend your virtues and your values. When most people think of Ben Franklin, they remember the kite and the lightning bolt and the discovery of electricity. What a lot of people may not know is that Ben Franklin was one of the first writers to address self-making. When Franklin started Poor Richard's Almanac in 1732, he used the blank spaces between the crop data and the weather information to insert clever bits of moral and practical advice. I'm sure you've heard the saying, "Fish and company start to stink in 3 days." That was one of hundreds of Ben Franklin's comments on life. Another was, "Diligence is the mother of good luck." You know, it's amazing how hard-working, intelligent people have all the luck. We sometimes hear of a brand new musical group, an overnight success. They must have been in the right place at the right time, knew the right people, had a friend help them out. But if you've ever watched an interview with some of these folks, you'll probably hear that their overnight success actually took several years. Diligence is the mother of good luck. In addition to those witticisms, Ben Franklin gave us three principles of success that have withstood the test of time. Number one, happiness doesn't come from big pieces of great success, but from small daily achievements. What Mr. Franklin is saying is that we must be happy with what we've got when we're in pursuit of what we really want. Too often we say, "Oh, I'll be happy when I just get that promotion. I'll be happy when I just land that contract. I'll be happy when I just have more money. I'll be happy when I just..." Just what? You won't be any happier when you reach your goals than you are right now. It just doesn't work that way. Abraham Lincoln said it best. He said, "You'll be as happy as you make up your mind to be." Whether you're on your way or you've already gotten there, you'll be as happy as you make up your mind to be, right now. Being happy on the way doesn't mean you can't aim for great things. After all, look at everything Franklin accomplished in his lifetime. It means that big achievements come one small step at a time. It means that you've got to enjoy the journey. It means that you must enjoy and take pride in your little accomplishments. It means celebrating who you are becoming in pursuit of your larger goal. And it means doing so every single day. Ben Franklin's second principle was, life is not rigid. Within each of us lies the power to mold ourselves and our environment. It is up to each of us to begin this molding process with a final product in mind. And it is within your power to work on your goals regularly. By using your mind and your abilities, you'll soon see how much power you have to achieve your goals. It takes little steps to build up to success. Principle number three, success is a pleasure. If what you are doing today isn't satisfying or gratifying, guess what? You're really not successful. If you are not fulfilled with what you are doing today, you cannot possibly be successful. It doesn't matter how many worldly possessions you own, how many cars, how many toys, how much money. If you are not happy with your life as it is, you cannot be successful. I know that success is a relative term. It means different things to different people. To a school kid, success may mean a star on his latest test. To a homemaker, it probably means having a well-run household and a wonderful family. To a business person, it's most likely the thrill of closing a major contract, the pride in accepting a performance bonus, or being named the top producing salesperson. But the one testimonial you will hear from all successful people is that they are happy with who they are and what they are doing. They are content, satisfied. Success is a pleasure. What have you done today that makes this day successful? Think about it. Write it down. If at the end of each day you can jot down the things that have made it a good day, you will soon see patterns forming. This really is a good habit to get into. When you can see a pattern of pleasure, you'll know you're on the road to success. So take note of Mr. Franklin's three principles of success. Number one, big achievements come one step at a time, one day at a time. Number two, you have the power to mold your life. You can make it whatever you want. You can shape it and reshape it. And number three, success is measured through pleasure. This is the key principle. You've got to be happy along the way. You've got to learn to give yourself a pat on the back. You need to tell yourself, "I'm proud of me today." You've got to learn to enjoy the process.